Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I have had a couple requests asking me where my friend Captain Al is, and he's back with us today, thank God. He's got an amazing, amazing mind. He's been writing articles that everyone should be keeping an eye on and reading, and nobody is telling the truth like it is, quite like he is. Thank you for joining me, sir.
You're quite welcome, Mel. A long time ago, my father, who was the first aviation editor of the Associated Press way back in the 1920s, wrote an article, and basically he said that we should write about what we know, what we have knowledge of, not what we would like to have knowledge of. And I've got 45 plus years in the aviation industry, everything from Piper Cubs to 747. So I have a little bit of experience. And as I watch what's happening in the country today, many things distress me, but nothing distresses me more than what has been happening in respect to the aviation industry. A lot of people don't realize, and they don't, when they go out and they get on an airplane, it's like, well, it's a nice shiny airplane. It's got leather seats. It smells good. I'm really looking forward to my trip. And they don't realize that they are putting themselves in a position that they have no control over. Right. They are going to be put into a metal cylinder that is going to be flying at about 90% of the speed of sound at 7 miles above the earth. And if something goes wrong, those people up in the front of the airplane, the pilots, are very, very important because it's not all automatic. And one of the things I've noticed here in recent months is that there have been a great increase in a number of what is referred to as a runway incursion. That's a fancy way of saying that two airplanes end up in the same place at the same time, either on or above the runway. Either way, it could be absolutely fatal to everyone on board. The largest number of fatalities that ever occurred in the airline industry was on March 27th of 1977, when a Pan American 747 and a KLM Royal Dutch 747 collided on the runway in Tenerife in the Canary Islands. And at that time, 583 people lost their lives. It was a foggy runway. There was a miscommunication between the pilots of the KLM 747 and the tower. And because of that, many people lost their lives. Runway incursions after that, there were many things that were done to prevent that from happening again. And it became very rare. But in recent months, there have been a dramatic increase in the number of runway incursions. And if you read the newspapers or you obviously watch the news, whatever, you hear about some of them, but certainly not all of them. And there are two that I can think about that happened fairly recently. One in Texas, down in Houston, Texas, where a 767 of FedEx almost ran into a 737 of Southwest Airlines. It was a case where the air traffic controller made a big mistake. If you are flying an instrument approach, particularly what's called a Category 3, which is down to the lowest possible minimums you can land, no one is permitted into a safe zone at the departure end of the runway because it can interfere with the localizer and the glide slope, which is what allows airplanes to land in very, very, very bad conditions. And in this case, the controller cleared the Southwest airplane to take off when the FedEx airplane was only about 3 miles out on finals. So it went in and violated this particular safe zone that's supposed to be there. Thankfully, the captain of the 767 of FedEx heard him cleared into position and said, FedEx, abort. Well, or excuse me, said Southwest abort. Southwest did not, continued the takeoff, And the FedEx airplane actually flew right over the top of the 737 of Southwest, and it came within something between 100 and 200 feet from colliding. Fortunately, the FedEx airplane turned left, the Southwest airplane turned right, and they very, very narrowly missed each wow. other. This is a very bad situation, obviously.
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, at New York's Kennedy Airport, a 737, this time, I believe, of Delta, was on takeoff on one way, and a 777, a 777 of American Airlines, was holding short of that runway that it was taking off on to taxi to another runway. And unfortunately, because of actions of the co-pilot, the airplane actually taxied out onto the runway. Thankfully, the 737 of Delta was able to stop. That would have been an accident, would have killed easily 400 people, and it was very, very close. These accidents are popping up everywhere from Honolulu, as I said, to JFK.
Right.
And many of them don't get reported as far as the press goes, and it's happening more and more often. Well, you wonder why would there be a big increase in this type of situation? And there's several factors that are involved, at least in my opinion.
Yep.
One of those factors is that they're hiring a lot of air traffic controllers, and the air traffic control process is a very, very complicated process. Not everyone is capable of doing that job any more than they're capable of being airline pilots and right. modern airliners. I've often described both those jobs as being hours and hours and hours of boredom, punctuated by moments of stark terror, and that's what happens. It when they happen so fast and so quick, you don't have a time to think about it. You just do it and you act. And in the case of the controllers, they're hiring in a woke process. They're hiring people not because of their qualifications, not because of their personalities, not because of a lot of things, but because of their sex, because of their race, because of a lot of issues that should not be factors. Women can be excellent air traffic controllers. Any minority can be excellent traffic controllers. But that should not be a factor that's used in determining who's hired.
Right.
Now we're doing the same thing in the airline industry. And the airline industry is in a very unique situation right now. Not since probably the mid-1960s have there been as many openings coming up in the airline industry. And it's basically because the pilots are reaching mandatory retirement. They pushed that forward. When I retired, you had to retire at age 60. They moved that up to 62. Then they moved it to 65. And that's as far as they've gone.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be pushed past that point, but it could. So they're in a position where a lot of people are retiring. And as they retire, you have to replace them. And unfortunately, the military no longer is producing pilots at the rate they did in the past. So they're going into a situation where when I was hired in 1964 by Transworld Airlines, the majority of the pilots coming into the airline industry came out of the military, over 90%. 10% of them that were there, and I was one of those guys, came from civil aviation, and we were a rare breed at that time. Now it's the other way around. Mm. It's 90% out of civil aviation and only 10% approximately out of the military.
Oh, wow.
So the airlines are finding they don't have candidates that are available, and they're opening up their own flight academies, taking people basically off the street with no flying experience at all, getting them the ratings that they need to be basic crew members, and then hiring them and putting them on the line. Unfortunately, again, the HR departments have gotten involved in this, and airlines like United and several of the other major airlines have announced that over the next 5 to 10 years, they want 50% of all the pilots hired to be either women or minorities, Well, that's just fine as long as that 50% are qualified individuals, but you just can't put people into a box because you want them there. This then goes back to something that's going on in the government.
Right.
We hire an individual, or he's appointed, obviously, by the Biden administration, Mr. Buttigieg.
Right.
Mr. Buttigieg, you know, Bear Pete, had absolutely no experience whatsoever at all in any area of transportation. As a matter of fact, when he was the mayor of the city he was in, I think it was Toledo, he basically was known as Pothole Pete because he couldn't keep the streets in good shape.
Yeah.
But he was hired into that. And I think we all know why he was hired into that. He had a bunch of boxes that could be checked.
Right.
The individual has proven to be totally ineffective in that job.
Right.
And one of the big parts of the Department of Transportation is the FAA, Federal Aviation Agency. So recently they put another individual up for the head of the FAA. This gentleman is named Phil Washington, I believe, a Black gentleman, a very pleasant individual who had his only experience in aviation. He was not a pilot. And by the way, I think that ought to be mandatory requirement right. for the head of the federal aviation industry. But at any rate, his experience was that he was the CEO of Denver International Airport. Well, Denver International Airport, basically all airports, you have to understand that are where you have airline operations, have what's called a land side, okay, and an air side. The land side is the parking lots, the entrance to the airport, the terminal before you get to security gates and so forth. And in other words, it's that part of the airport that really doesn't deal with airplanes.
Right.
The air side of the airport, past security, is where the gates are, where the ramps are, where the taxiways, where the runways, et cetera. And so he had no experience even in that, let alone knowing what is required to make pilot training, et cetera, which is obviously very important. So you're getting sort of a Pandora's box, a witch's brew of really bad stuff happening in the industry. And there's nowhere to maintain checks and balances. And it's even worse than that, because formerly, most of the check airmen, as it were, for the FAA were retired either military pilots or airline pilots.
Right.
So they had a great deal of experience, and their checking of the people on the online operation, everything was based on that experience. Well, again, woke hiring happened. And a lot of this happened, by the way, during the Obama administration, where they put people who had virtually no experience in aviation at all. And they're now the FAA check airmen that are watching these crews operate, and they have no input into it all, but they're gay, they're female, they're whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's diversity, equity, inclusion. Right. I mean, this is part of what I've talked about a lot, which is Joe Biden put in an executive order, of course, not Joe Biden, that all agencies, including the FAA, go by this diversity, equity, inclusion hiring, this Justice 40, like 40%. And then they hired all of these people, putting in them in HR at the highest levels of these agencies to then make that happen based on absolutely nothing other than the color of their skin, their sexual orientation. And like you said, checking boxes. And this has happened. It was a whole of government executive order, and it went through everywhere, the EPA, DOJ, FAA, everywhere. And what's happened now is that we have what you're saying is we, like you said, I don't care what color you are, what race, what gender, any of that. I want the best people possible. And this is the end of meritocracy and all of this stuff. And this is so dangerous for our nation. And once you go too far in this direction, it's very hard to ever go back. And I want people to really understand that. They've just, you know, Buttigieg, you know, he's out there talking about environmental justice, that highways were built because to separate, you know, Black communities from white community. I mean, all of this stuff. And then you look up the highway he's talking about, and there was no development of residential areas when the highway was built. I mean, it's all a fraud. But here's my question for you. To what end?
Well, again, the people don't think that far. When you go and you're going to have an operation, I'm having my knee replaced. Okay. Right. I don't go and look for the cheapest guy to replace my or woman to replace my knee. I look for the best.
Right.
If you're going to a heart surgeon or a brain surgeon, you look for the best. You don't say, well, is this person the proper gender? Are they proper sexual orientation? Are they the proper race? Whatever. It doesn't make any difference. Are they the best doctor?
Right.
When you have a situation where a surgeon, and I jokingly told my surgeon, who is a former Navy flight surgeon, a wonderful guy, I told him, I said, you know, Dr. Leong, you know, you in your job, you can kill one at a time. In my former job, I could kill 500 at a time, including myself, unfortunately. But that's the situation, that people are not thinking beyond where they really should think. And again, going back to the original way that airplanes were flown, airliners, they had a minimum of three people in the cockpit. They had a captain, a first officer, co-pilot, and a flight engineer. The flight engineer position basically went away when they began to automate the airplanes a great deal more. So now you have two people in the cockpit. On long international flights, there'll be an international relief officer, an IRO, whatever. And so you can't have three people in there all at the same time, especially on takeoff and landing. On all the domestic flights, you're looking at only two people. And I don't know if you remember, they had an incident where an airline over in Europe, I think it was Air Berlin, but I'm not sure of that, the co-pilot decided he was going to commit suicide.
Right.
And so the on the flight between somewhere in Spain, I believe it was, back to Germany, when the captain got up and went to the bathroom, he locked the door, locked him out, and basically flew the airplane right square into the side of the mountain, into the Alps, and killed everybody on board. You have a situation where this individual was obviously mentally, he had a mental problem.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there were indications, people that knew this was going on, but didn't do anything about it.
Right.
Now we have a situation where, again, we can have individuals that have some serious medical issues and mental issues that can be hired into this operation and put into a position where there are only two of them up there. And what happens now, my daughter's a flight attendant for a big airline. She tells me that now they have a rule that there must be two people in the cockpit at all times. So if one of the pilots leaves, one of the flight attendants has to be there. They can't have a situation where somebody could just lock the door.
Right.
Well, I think about that and say, yeah, what if here's a guy, big guy, he's sitting up there and one of the little flight attendants come in, he can overpower her just in a New York minute. So there's a lot of bad things that go on, and there are a lot of bad potential. And the way you get around that as best you can is you hire the best people, and you pay attention to what's going on in their lives. You pay attention to their training regimen, et cetera. And there have been other incidents in recent times where an individual that was hired as a co-pilot for an outfit called Atlas Air, which is a cargo company that was working for Amazon, flying one of their airplane, but with Amazon colors on it, and actually flew this thing into the bay on the way into Houston. There were only three people on board, the two pilots plus a deadheading pilot from another airline. They were all killed. The airplane, if it had been just 2 miles farther on, would have gone into a very, very dense neighborhood and would have killed probably thousands, at least hundreds of people there. And you go back into this guy's resume and back into his, he had worked for seven different airlines. He had been fired from two. He had retired from training from other. And because of the way the rules have been set up with the FAA, that information was not shared with Atlas when they hired this guy. But even Atlas, when they had him, the people that were training him said, this guy is not doing the job. He's taking much more time. He gets fixated on things he shouldn't get fixated. There were red flags everywhere. But again, political correctness. The right. gentleman was a black guy from one of the Caribbean islands. Nobody wanted to fire him because of the implications that were there.
Right.
These are things that should not be there. They are putting us in danger.
Right.
They're putting you and Rob in danger right. potentially every time you get on an airplane.
And let me ask you this, because, you know, we always when we talk, we always are talking about that people aren't asking the next question. They're kind of stopping at, well, that's, you know, that shouldn't be. And then they stop right there. But here's the other thing. All of us have pretty much noticed that when we go to book airlines, we get they tell us about our carbon usage and, you know, and all of that stuff. And I'm wondering if this is the purposeful destruction of the airline industry in plans with their, you know, Agenda 2030 and their all their climate stuff, that it's going hand in hand. Is there an aspect to this that is destroy the airline industry in hopes of destroying the travel industry or the freedom of travel or all of that? Because it's hard at this point when you look at, when you follow the money and you realize that they've consolidated a lot of the airlines or multinational corporations own them, or big hedge funds like the BlackRock's Vanguards own huge, you know, the main power of these boards of directors and stuff. It's hard not to separate the ESG score and the Green New Deal and the Agenda 2030 climate stuff from what is happening to it. It seems like too much of a coincidence that it's not related. I understand the diversity, equity, and inclusion, but is there an aspect to this that is the controlled destruction of the airline industry, you think?
Well, this goes back a long way, and it goes back to 1978 when Teddy Kennedy, a senator from Nevada, and I have to pull up his name in my mind, but a group of people got together and determined that we would deregulate the airline industry. And there's an excellent book about this, which I recommend to everyone. It's called Hard Landing. Oh, wow. And it's still available on Amazon and other places. But basically, it tells the entire story of how the airline industry became deregulated, and it was deregulated under the concept that this was going to make travel cheaper for everybody.
Oh, God.
What occurred was at that time, there were approximately 21 major and near major airlines flying in the United States. Today, there's seven.
Right.
And what happens when you consolidate like this, you eliminate competition. Anytime you eliminate competition, the service that's provided goes to hell in a handbasket, which it has, obviously.
Yes.
And more to the point, the excellence that is there begins to go away. Right. And you can get involved where you have, in years past, flight operations was the controlling factor. And flight operations is the pilots, right? Flight operations was the controlling factor in the hiring.
Right.
Pilots interviewed the people. You went through extensive testing to get to the interview process. And finally, you were interviewed by several captains that were knew what they wanted to have as far as the particular pilots for that particular airline. Now it's done by the HR department. And the HR department, none of those people, or I would guess 99% of those people, do not have pilot's licenses, certainly have never flown a sophisticated airliner, and they are hiring based on a bunch of parameters that have absolutely nothing to do with the safe operation of the airplane.
Right.
So in answer to your question, you can't have an electric airplane, right? It's not going to happen. You have to have airplanes that are operated with some form of fuel.
Right.
And if it is not jet fuel, it's got to be hydrogen. It's got to be something that powers the airplane.
Right.
And so indeed, if you get involved in these restrictive regulations, it can get to the point where you're not going to have any more airline industry. Now, I don't personally think that's going to happen because we have become too accustomed to that. We are not Europe, where we can get on high-speed trains and over fairly short distances and move around. We're the United States of America, a big continent. We don't have a rail infrastructure, and we absolutely, as they've proven in California, we can't build one. They couldn't even build a high-speed rail between Los Angeles and San Francisco, let alone between Los Angeles and New York or Chicago. Right. So it's not going to happen. We have, even in that, because of people like Pete Buttigieg, we have a rail industry that is in severe distress. All of the derailments, look what happened to East Palestine. You know, these are terrible things because no one's paying attention. But again, back to my area of expertise, what happened after that horrible accident in Tenerife was they went back in and they looked at the airports and they said, what can we do to not have this happen again? And they came up with a system which is called ground control radar. Ground control radar is a limited radar that allows them to look at all the airplanes as they're taxiing around the ground. Doesn't make any difference if you're in London and you got 50 feet visibility and heavy fog, or you're in Los Angeles and it's bright and clear. That radar can be used to control the airplanes on the ground, to give information even if the individual in the tower can't see them, or it's dark, it's the visibility is bad, whatever. Those systems have been installed in airports all over the world, including in some of the airports in the United States. But in the example that I gave a little earlier on about American Airlines and Delta and the collision they almost had there, there is a system that basically has lights. You have taxiway lights that are on the outside, they're blue lights. The runway lights are white lights, and you have centerline lighting. And the centerline lighting on the runways is white centerline lighting. And at the end of the runway, as you get down there, it becomes red, white. And as you get very close to the end, it's all red. So it tells you where you're at, even if the visibility is very poor. The taxiways, it's a little green lights. And if you go to someplace like London, when you land in London at Heathrow, you actually taxi off onto the high-speed taxiway, and the lights come on and go off, leading you directly all the way to the gate. So even if the visibility is very, very poor, they're looking at you on the ground control radar, and the system is leading you where you need to go, including on places where they want you to stop, like before crossing a runway, which what America did and was almost hit by Delta.
Right.
Big red lights come on. And they're flashing, and this is stop, don't go about here. And right. They stay like that until it's clear, and the ground controller can say, okay, now you're cleared to cross runway 4R. The lights go out, you cross runway 4R, and you keep on taxiing. These systems were in place at Kennedy, but the controllers didn't like them. So arbitrarily, they stopped using them, or using them on a very limited basis. Many of the other airports in the United States, funding came in for that, but it was pulled away from it and put into other projects like parking garages, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, we can't help but notice that all of our airports look like glamorous shopping malls. LaGuardia, $4 billion. I don't think any of it went towards the runways or making it safer. And what you're talking about is really disturbing, because $11 billion I believe that came through during the PPP loans didn't go to anything making anything safer. In this new budget, $1.7 trillion, there's billions of dollars for the FAA in there, and we should have these radars. And what you're talking about at Heathrow, at every airport in America, we have the money. So this is this seems to me, I'm at a point where it's very hard for me to believe it's totally incompetence.
It's purposeful. It absolutely is purposeful. What you're talking about is they have decided where they're going to spend this money, and they don't want to be confused with the facts. When you have a situation where you can go, and again, Unfortunately, the Democrats, and they are the ones that are most guilty of this, have decided that the best way to deal with this country is to divide and conquer. Right. So we will divide the races, we will divide the religions, we will divide the national origins, and everybody is going to be fighting each other, and they can't see what we're doing on the other side. So when you say, well, we got to take this money and build, you know, highways or bridges over the highways so these people on this side can deal with people on this side, that's more important than upgrading our airports. Yeah. It's more important than upgrading our port facilities. It's more important than upgrading our rail facilities. The money is there. It's where it's being spent.
Right.
And the people, when you see individuals, as I see, and I'm sure you see, when you know what's going on and the individual gets up and is there talking to Congress, to the Senate or the House, and they lie through their teeth and they get away with it. There is no consequence for lying, period.
It's the problem. I think it's the biggest problem in America right now. And this has been going on. You've been in this for a very long time. This has been going on for decades, that they have these hearings that at this point, every time I hear there's a hearing, it's like, who cares? It's just nothing's going to happen. People lie. We have the heads of the CIA, heads of Dr. Fauci, all these people, and they get caught in the lies and it goes away. And this has been going on for decades. I mean, certainly since JFK forward, I don't think anyone's paid a price for anything that's happened so far. And a lot of them get promoted. So it's again and again, we're dealing with this, and this is like life and death. And something I do want to ask, if it's the same thing, because it's interesting. I was talking to a 3-star general recently about what's going on in the military, and he said to me something very similar to what you said, which is this is an HR problem, that what's going on in the military too, that even if you're a military officer, but you're in HR, or you become a military officer because you are an HR person in corporate America, they pull you into the military. He said what's going on in the military has a lot to do with an HR problem. And I didn't put it together until you said it here, because another thing I wanted to ask you about is it does appear that there are a tremendous amount of military plane crashes, military training exercise crashes, military. I mean, I feel like every few days I'm hearing, and these are young kids that they're pulling out. They're not really, it doesn't seem, investing in like they used to when you or my dad or even 10 years ago, what the military was doing for training is really now this diversity, equity, inclusion and all of that. But what is going on? Because I truly feel like every few weeks, and you and I look at alternate, we don't look at the media, legacy media, the government media, as far as I'm concerned, but we look at what we're interested in. And I can't help but constantly see, and it's rarely reported, so many military plane accidents and helicopter accidents. And is it the same thing, or are they not investing? Are they not upgrading? Are they building all this, like the military industrial complex, also Boeing and some of the Raytheon, all these companies, you would think that the planes, especially the military planes and what they're training on, would be so advanced that it would be nearly impossible to have a training exercise. So what is going on with all the military crashes?
Well, again, if you look at aviation all the way back to the very beginning, the Wright brothers,
right,
there have been more people killed in training accidents in every conflict that we have ever had, including World War II and Korea and Vietnam, in training accidents than have been killed in combat.
Wow.
Training accidents kill a lot of people because by its very concept, they're frequently the least qualified trying to get qualified to do the job.
Right.
There's an airplane called an F-4U Corsair, which is a gull-wing airplane, a piston airplane that flew for the Navy and for the Marines in World War II. And it was referred to as the Ensign Killer, because it had a tendency, when you got a little slow on approach, to stall and spin. And the least qualified pilots could not keep up with the airplane. They finally fixed it by a very stupid little piece of wood that was glued onto the front of the wing. But the point is, this was a very sophisticated airplane that killed a lot of people.
Right.
Every time that you move up from a non-sophisticated airplane, which is exactly what you got when you go through primary flight training, to a more sophisticated airplane, you have potential for fatal accidents. And what I see going on now frequently is you see a lot of these things with the Black Hawk helicopters are colliding with each other, colliding with the ground. There are things that you wear when you're flying at night in a military airplane, which are night vision goggles.
Right.
And night vision goggles are not like looking through and everything is clear. You're looking through this green haze type of a thing. And one of the great tragedies of our pullout of Afghanistan is we lost something like 100,000 pairs of the best, the newest night vision goggles that are now going to be used against us by terrorists and by other, you know, possible entities out there, because the Taliban basically is selling these things off to the arms dealers that are now operating in Sudan and all of the other places that we see over there. But the military crashes, part of it has got to be, whether we want to admit it or not, because we don't want to be accused of being xenophobic or whatever, the quality of the pilots that are coming into the military. One of the problems is right now, you see it every day in the news, they can't meet their quotas. So if you can't meet the quotas, what do? You lower the requirements.
Right.
And that's happening. And nobody can say that in the training facilities and so forth, because if they want to their career to be able to go to retirement or whatever, or they want any advancement, they got to go along with Thoroughly Modern Millie, right?
Yeah.
And he's worried about right range. And the head of the Department of Defense, I mean, this guy's a joke, an absolute joke.
He was on the board of Raytheon when they pulled him in. And, this is a huge problem. You and I talked about it last time, is that a lot of these people, they go out of the military, they go into the military industrial complex and they stay there, or they go into a think tank or something else. And these are the guys that are really, a lot of them should be promoted to then running the FAA, or promoted to this or that. And that's not really how the system's working. And I had this conversation with this general, and he was saying that that's a big problem, because I keep saying, where are the military? You know, the guys like you that are, 38 years, 4-star general, 3-star general, where are these guys? And he said, they're not being then they're not coming out of the military and then being put into the infrastructure to run the country. They're going elsewhere for whatever reason. And so we have a void. And what you're talking about too is all these people that are retiring, they keep pushing the age up. So they're not pulling the best people out to run these agencies or to run the FAA when they should have been pulling them out in their 40s and 50s and, promoting them to run those agencies. That's not what's happening. So I think that we have a big void of the best of the best. There's no incentive, or I don't know why they're not picking from that lot.
Well, there's another factor, and I wrote about it in a recent Substack article called Surviving Biden. And basically, I talked about a lot of stuff we're talking about today. But one of the things that we should be doing and we aren't doing is that when you have people like myself, for instance, and there's many more like me and better than me, but that have a great deal of experience in training pilots on the airline, why are these people, when they retire, not put into, then rehired into the training department, into the hiring department? And this is true for the air traffic controllers.
Right.
The people that have the experience, that have been there and done that, are not being the people that are training. They're bringing people in, even from outside.
Right.
That they have a training manual, but they have no practical experience themselves. This is something we should absolutely be doing, and we're not, again, because of the fact we've gone into this woke idea. And I think if there's anything that kills this country, it may be wokeness in the long run, that we are not using the people that we should, and using the resources that we have available, which are tremendous resources.
Right.
I say in this article that we ought to be hiring some of the graybeards. Okay.
Yeah,
the guys that have been there and done that to do the training and the hiring.
Right. Well, what the FAA should be doing, and hopefully in 24, we'll have a different regime in there. But what they should be doing is getting people like you that put yourself out there. I mean, people see your work. I mean, a lot of people see your work. They should be pulling people like you and other people on your level that get this into meetings and hearings and all of that, and listening to your ideas. We have a totally corrupt, I mean, captured situation in DC, especially all of these agencies, because that was the first goal. If you look at the original 30 executive orders, which is not how our country is supposed to be run, all of them were about basically turning the bureaucracy into diversity, equity, inclusion, lowering standards, all of that. When there's so many people out there that if they just pulled them into a room, Trump did this a lot, where he'd pull in the people that were in the, that were actually doing stuff, and pull them in from all different walks and all different places, people like you, and saying, you know, here's what we have. What do you think is wrong? What would you do different? I mean, if our country was running by the people for the people, and the people that were the best of the best were the ones deciding, because this is not just happening in this. I had on a couple guys that were our whistleblowers from the FBI, and they say it's happening in all of these agencies, that instead of pulling people that worked their way up for 30 years in the FBI to run the FBI, they're pulling in a lawyer from a multinational law firm and putting them at the top. When it's like, you should have the people that earned it. If our country went back to merit and earning it, it could turn around. But the trajectory we're on, where the people like you that have the ideas, you've written books, all of this, we should be going for those people. And right now it's going in the other direction, and it's going fast. And my fear is, it's going to go so fast that we're going to be completely staffed. And I think this is obviously, I think it's by design. We're going to be completely staffed by true incompetence. I don't think the people that are setting up the controlled demolition of America are incompetent. I think they know what they're doing. But I think the people that they're putting in, and at what point are the entire agency being run by those people?
I mean, have you ever heard of the vigilantes of Montana?
No, but we need them now, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, basically, this is another book that I can highly recommend. In the late 1800s, the state of Montana, it was originally the territory and then the state, had become so corrupt in their government that the people could no longer trust the court system. They couldn't trust the politicians. They couldn't trust their law enforcement.
Right.
And so a group of people that were longtime residents, or that had what I believe was the best interests of the state of Montana in their heart,
right,
formed what they referred to as the Vigilante Committee. And they went out in the dark of night, went into people's homes and hauled them out and took them into a court where they tried them in the court. They had lawyers, they had representation and so forth.
Right.
And most of them, the really bad actors, were exiled from the state. Basically, they said, get out or you won't be able to.
Right.
A very few, the worst of the worst, they actually hung up on trees and scaffolds, et cetera, various places around, with a sign on their chest that said, this person, you know, is up here because of this. They did this and this and this.
Right.
Guess what? After a period of time, the bad guys realized they couldn't succeed anymore, and the state of Montana went back to being a state where there was law.
Right.
And I'm not saying that we should be hanging people on trees or putting them up against a wall and shooting them, but they must be held accountable. And when people lie, when Janet Yellen gets up and lies, when Mayorkas gets up and lies, we cannot keep nodding our heads like a bunch of booby birds on Wake Island. Right. That is another thing. If you've never seen it, a booby bird is an albatross. And the albatross, they go out and they fly for months and months and months. They come back in. They forgot how to land on land and instead of on the water. So they come flying in with the landing gear down and tumble up into a ball and get up shaking your heads trying to figure out what the hell happened there. Well, they come to breed and they're there in their thousands, maybe millions on the beaches. And one of these birds will start nodding its head and suddenly the one next to it and the one pair, and suddenly you have hundreds of thousands of booby birds all nodding their head the same. Right. Every time I watch the news, which is very rarely, and by the way, I don't know how, whether you're upset, but I'm really upset about Tucker Carlson being kicked out. But when you watch the news and you see these people in the various panels, et cetera, they're all nodding their heads. Somebody says something that is absolutely ridiculous. And there's no basis in fact at what they've said, but it goes along with the narrative that they want to push. Right. And everybody is at the table nodding their head. And I just look at that and I say, there's the booby birds.
Right, right. Well, I also happen to believe that the news media has to be held accountable, because there is no difference right now between the intel community, the DOJ, the Biden regime, and the media. And that is never what was supposed to be intended. This is a violation. And I believe that they're purposefully misleading the people, and a lot of them know it, because of the same thing we talked about with the airlines. The centralization of power is really well above what anyone thinks. They're not running this. There is this, I believe that it's an elitist oligarchy of billionaires that have sold our country out, and they're doing by every means necessary, confusing people to the point that people wake up one day and we no longer have a country because they've been so distracted by everything else. And every day is more and more chaos. And that's why I really love your writing, because you tend to hit it right on the mark every time that you put out a piece. And it's really important that people get truth right now, because the one thing I'm very worried about is people that are, you know, aligned with us, that love God and country and know that America is being destroyed but can be saved with some of the practical things you've said today. If we had real leaders that really were for this country, there's so many American citizens, I think, that don't understand that our country is in serious danger. And that danger, I believe, is coming from within. And something I do want to bring up before I let you go is we have this open border that's going on, and people aren't really paying attention, I don't think, enough. They don't really get it. They think it's about illegal immigration, and it's not. In my opinion, it's far worse than that. But we have a situation where there is a trafficking situation going on at our border. I had on the whistleblower that spoke in front of Congress the other day yesterday. And she's talking about all these people that are, and first of all, the U.S. government with our taxpayer dollars are paying for flights, travel, trains, everything for a lot of these people to be shipped into every 50 states of America, which is called trafficking. And we are paying for that. And we are at a place where the American people don't even understand what's going on at the border, let alone what's going on in aviation, let alone what's going on in D.C. And I'm at a place, you've watched this happen over decades, where I I'm screaming from the rooftops. Only so many people see my show, but a lot do and share my show. And that's great. But what will it take for the American people to realize, left, right, Republican, Democrat, I don't care what you look like, what your skin color is or anything else, if we don't unite as Team America and get that we are under attack from within and from without right now, I'm very worried. So what would you say to people that, you know, still are looking at this as we're in some kind of election cycle?
Well, as I think I've pointed out before, one of the things that scares the hell out of me is what is coming across that border above and beyond the drugs and all of that.
Right.
We have people that are coming across that border from 170 countries, including Afghanistan, Iran, some bad places in Africa, et cetera. And as I've said, it is almost impossible to believe, especially with all the stuff we left in Afghanistan.
Right.
We are not having, you know, surface-to-air missiles come across that border. And I believe in my heart of hearts, I wish I didn't, but I believe it very strongly, that we are going to have an attack on our air traffic system that is going to basically shut it down in a couple of days. All you got to do is have a few airliners shot out of the sky. And as I've said before, it's not going to happen in New York and LA and San Francisco. It's going to happen in little secure airports in the middle of the country. And it's going to scare the crap out of everybody, and everything is going to shut down. You can't imagine what would happen to this country if we shut down all our air transport. Most of the mail flies. It doesn't ride around in trucks. Food, just the basic transportation of getting people, business people back and forth, et cetera. This is going to make COVID shutdowns look small by comparison. In my book, The Water Lily Warriors, I talk about what might happen if you had severe coronal mass ejections. Well, guess what's happening right now in the last couple of weeks? Tremendous amounts of sunspots and coronal mass ejections. They're seeing the northern lights as far south as Alabama. And this is the beginning of a cycle which is going to increase through 2024 and 2025. Right. It's a big cycle. What's going to happen to our power grid? It's already been put down several times in the last 40 years by coronal mass ejections. It was started a breakdown up in Canada, and because the grid's all connected, it ended up putting down most of the East Coast all the way down to Washington, D.C.
Right.
This is, since that time, the grid is even more unstable. And they figure right now something in the neighborhood of 6 to 7 main power stations, if they could put them out, we could basically shut this country down. Don't you think the terrorists know about that?
Yeah.
We have something in the neighborhood of 360 million people, the most radical of Islam, that want to kill us, period. Yeah. And they're out there and they're coming in there now. So it's not just the people that are coming across the border to take jobs from Americans and drive the salaries down. There are bad actors that are out there, and the politicians are not paying any attention to them. I write letter after letter after letter to politicians. They don't even give me the courtesy. And one of the worst of the bunch, by the way, is Lindsey Graham.
Oh, yes.
They don't even pay you the courtesy of giving you a personal answer. You get boilerplate sent to you, and I just rip it up and throw it in the trash.
I know, and that's the problem. And like we said earlier with air traffic, they have the money to do everything that we need done on this soil to protect this country. That's why they're sending like all these ships to protect Taiwan, and we're watching what's happening in Ukraine and all of this. And their job should be the safety, security, peace, and prosperity of America. That is the job of Washington, D.C., and that is their job, and they're not doing it. We are at a place where it's not a matter of money. They want to raise the debt ceiling to pay for foreign nations. And you know, we're at a point where the American people have to start realizing it's not them allowing it, it's us allowing it. And, you know, I just feel that people have to really start understanding that we, the people, still do have a constitution and a Bill of Rights, and we have our states that should be, in my opinion, right now, I think the only hope is in the states. And that would require fair elections in the states to get some of the governors to behave as our government should be.
How about a constitutional convention? I mean, that
would have one. Really, I would like to have one of those. I think we should. I don't know what else to do at this point, but I know that you are doing amazing work, and I want my audience to follow you. There is no news, and I firmly believe that Tucker Carlson will rise like the phoenix and be the worst nightmare for these people going forward. So as much as I was upset, I recently had the privilege of meeting him in person. This guy's not going down. Okay, so we have to remember that. But the most important thing to remember is that people like you that are putting out Substacks and putting out emails and stuff are the news. This can no longer be ignored, that there are people putting out truth that need to be followed and shared and taken seriously. And God willing, we have a fair, or at least close to fair or free or open election if people get involved now, not 2 months before the election, like every time, and then start panicking. Now is the time. But honestly, we need to have people that have experience going into all these agencies and ripping them apart and rebuilding them with qualified individuals that should be in there and rebuild from the inside. But we don't have that much time. So the Captain Al, can you tell everyone where they can find you, how they can follow you, how they can get your emails, which are super important? If you're not getting it, please do get it. And please share his emails when they come. Every time I share them, I get comments back. As frightening as they are, I liken it to a few good men. You can't handle the truth. Well, right now, the American people can't not handle the truth, or we're going to be in worse trouble than we are. So tell my audience how to follow.
I hope people remember, and will again go to Al Francis, alfrancis.substack.com, and subscribe to my site there, my newsletter, and pass it on, because basically we've lost Fox now, as far as I'm concerned, and that was the last major. You got Newsmax. There's a couple other things out there, but we're going to have to do this on our own.
Right.
And we have to do it while we still got the internet, and who knows how long that's going to be there. They would love to take that down. They want to take everything down. They want it to be basically, you know, 1984 with Big Brother telling us what we should see and what we should do. We've got to fight it. And we got to, as you say, there's good people out there, but you got to listen to them, and you got to pass it on when you see something you like. And I hope they will. If my stuff is worth anything, I hope they will at least give it a shot and see indeed if they want to pass that along, because that's the message we got to do. I pass you along to everybody. So believe me, I've done what I can for you. I appreciate what you've done for me.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's really, both of us love God and country, our children and grandchildren, and we believe that this nation can be rebuilt from within, but I don't believe that we have till 2024 to sit around and hope for something that's going to save us, because the only thing that's going to save us is we, the people, stepping up and speaking out like you do all the time. Your link's below. Please, everyone, go over to Substack, subscribe to Captain Al, and he'll be back again soon. And thank you so much, sir. You're never giving up, and that is such a testimony. And there should be more like you out there. I would hope that anyone that's watching this, I have an older audience, and I hope that if you are retired in any field and you are seeing what's going on, you start to get involved and put your experience and expertise out there like Al Francis is, because we need you guys. The people that actually built this country and made this country great are still out there, and your voices matter. Thank you so much, sir.
God bless you, Mel.
You too. Bye-bye. Hey, Patriot pals. So happy that you're looking into gold and silver and protecting your savings for whatever comes ahead. Beverly Hills Precious Metals is our good friend, and we've been working with them for a long time. So you'll be getting a call from them. We'll also follow up here at the Mel K Show, because we want to make sure that you're taken care of and you're protected. If you have any questions, please let us know. Right now is the time. There's so much information coming. There's so much chaos. We just want all the patriots out there to be sure that they are protected, they are moving forward, and that we get through the storm together and safe. Whatever may come, just know we, the people of the United States, will prevail. God wins, and protect yourself. And please get in touch with us if you have any questions. So Beverly Hills Precious Metals, they're the best. They'll be in touch. We'll be in touch. You be in touch with us. Let's do this together. Patriot pals, I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. A lot of people do the food prep programs that they come in, you know, freeze-dried and all of that. This is not that. This is a full serving of fruits and vegetables and protein. It is a way to maintain a healthy diet no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what happens in this country. Because again, it's very affordable, and at the same time, it's very easy to follow, and it is like having a full garden outside your house that you're going and picking fresh fruit and fresh vegetables every single day you have that same nutrients inside your cupboard, you know, prepare now, be ready. A lot of people do prepping stuff. This is an excellent way to prep to make sure that you and your family always have the essential nutrients that you need to live a healthy, full life out there. Please check out Mel K Superfoods. We're loving the program. We'd love for you to join us. Please get in touch with the show if you're having benefits from the Superfoods program at Mel K Superfoods. We'd love to hear from you. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead.